Okay, in the studio here with Strathclyde Deputy Mayor Mike McGuire, second straight council meeting this week, Strathclyde Hospice in Chambers, a busy gallery, looking for eventual rezoning from currently an agricultural zone to an institutional zone. Lots of comments both for the hospice, Mike, and against the hospice, and some of the comments against the hospice from the public: increase in traffic. It's an agricultural area, so you know there's a lot going on during the planting season and the harvesting season. But one of the biggest discussion points of the evening came from you in your chair about regulations or whatnot and policies regarding agricultural lands. Can you take us through that?
So let me preface all of my comments with, this is my best understanding of the Planning Act. I'm not a certified planner. There are people out there that are, such as Tim Williams, who was in the room that night, works for the county, and on behalf of the Middlesex. Jake DeRitter at Strathroy Caradoc is a certified planner. These people have specialized training in this. I do not. I have sat on the Committee of Adjustment for 7 years, been the deputy mayor now for three. So we see a lot of this, and I do tend to, I enjoy following the legislation and how all of this works. So when I looked at this, and I do with most of our planning applications, I look at it from a legislative point of view, and I do that because what I have found over the last 7 years is the province, and particularly the OLT, are reviewing it from the point of view of the legislation. What does the legislation allow a landowner who has a piece of land zoned commercial? What can you do just merely because the legislation says you get to? In this case, we're talking about prime agricultural land and what is not allowed because of the regulations. So for me, I see it very legislatively, although I totally understand everybody's differing opinions, whether you're a neighbor or whether it's the people that want to do the hospice. They all have great things to say.
And let's be clear, it's not just at the provincial level, because you cited Strathroy Caradoc's plan as well. So it's not just the province, it's multi-layered.
It is. It starts with the province, who had a provincial policy statement, which I believe now is the provincial planning statement. But those statements change. Those are living documents, and they have changed, and I would tend to say they've probably changed about four times in my 7 years on the Committee of Adjustment and as now a politician here in the community. So they are living documents, and that's why these professional people have to stay up on it. We talk about, and I've mentioned the OLT, and I know it's been a topic of conversation on other discussions you've had recently, but you know, we talk about the OLT as an appeal, and I don't believe that's true. The OLT is not an appeal of the town or municipal decision-making. They sit on a term de novo. They start from anew, so they set a decision aside, and they start brand new on it. This is important because I look at it as to how do they examine and make their decisions, because I should be making my decisions based upon the same criteria. That being, what is my pathway forward? I think pretty much the words I used at the meeting. And I have to look through the legislation. How do we go from prime agricultural land in this specific case with the hospice? How do I move prime agricultural land into an industrial land, which would allow for the hospice to be there? Every piece of the legislation, both at the provincial level, the county level, and the municipal level, says we can't do that. And those were my comments, particularly directed towards Tim Williams, our planner. And I also wanted Mr. Damon to hear where my mind was on this topic.
Yeah, talking about Dr. Tyler Damon, who is the president of Strathroy Hospice right now. And let's be clear, everybody on council or on the shoe wants this to happen, wants the hospice to happen. But there are things in legislation that need to be recognized. And you brought it up, and Councillor Derbyshire brought up as well. There needs to be some treading water here, because this could set a precedence to a degree.
Well,
would you agree?
If we were to make a decision and it made it through the county level and up to the province, if it made it through all those levels, yes.
From prime agricultural land to rezoning it, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yes, okay. Very much. And that's my point to Mr. Williams, because he will come back with another report. I need to see that pathway, because I don't see it in front of me. Everything I see in the legislation says prime agricultural land must be maintained. It shall be maintained. So those are non-discretionary terms. It shall be maintained for the growing of crops or the raising of livestock, period. It says there are some exceptions, and I brought that forward and said, you know, things like aggregate, farm-related opportunities, having a small wine store on an apple orchard. That's an associated agricultural type thing. We've seen that before. But I don't see how that connects directly to the hospice. In order to make an informed decision, should this ever get back in front of council, I need to see that pathway. Or if the pathway is not there, this was my comment, if there's no pathway, I'm not seeing really that there's even a consideration that I can give to it. You're not showing me a pathway that I need to consider. It becomes a hard no.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's relevant or not because I don't have the research to have looked around to other hospices and where the locations are and where the locations stem from. I can only speak to London. I think it's called St. Joe's Hospice on Windermere, which is right near the university, right? So I can't speak to other hospices as far as where their locations come from, but you have to focus on the one specifically being asked of council.
That's exactly where we stand. Both the provincial planning statement as it is now, the county official plan and Strathroy's official plan all use the same language, that prime agricultural land must be maintained and you cannot take it out of that zoning. It's very difficult to do that.
You bring up a good point. Do you think that might have been unintentionally, air quotes here, unintentionally missed? And you found it, you brought it up during the council meeting, which is a very huge variable in this discussion and this potential project. Do you think it may have been unintentionally missed about that legislation?
I think the report, when you read the report, because this is not a decision-making report with a recommendation from Mr. Williams.
Correct.
That would be the last report that we would see.
Right.
This is a public meeting, you know, for a different purpose. You've covered many of them. I looked for that pathway. I do not see it in the report. If anything, I see the encumbrances inside the report that show there is no pathway. Doesn't mean there won't be one in the future. Mr. Williams will continue to work along those lines and see if there is that pathway for us. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Tyler Damon yesterday, in fact. I reached out to him. And I reached out to him because, first of all, he's a constituent, and he does fantastic work in this community, and he has a project in front of him. Mm-hmm. And my point of reaching out to him was, did he understand what I was saying when I spoke so that he understands? He made a very impassioned plea to council. And I've heard him make that plea to the community before when he's doing his fundraising. But that impassioned plea isn't really what I take into account when this matter sits in front of me for decision.
And that's not anything to do with disrespect. That's just the way it is.
No, absolutely, it's not disrespectful.
For
it's,
sure.
it's I respect what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see, did Tyler see that? And is he focusing his efforts where he thinks he should be focusing his efforts, or at least where I think he should be focusing his efforts? I can tell you, he sees this perfectly clear.
Yeah.
He fully, we had a great conversation for probably a half an hour. He completely understood what I was speaking about and clearly sees the challenges ahead of him. And strategically, this is where he's trying to move. And I respect that. I believe he told me he respects my position and he sees those encumbrances.
And we respect the current parcel of land owners and the story behind that reasoning why they want it there.
The story is heartfelt.
Absolutely.
I was down at the Caradoc Sands probably 18 months ago when they made their major announcement of the hospice, and mm-hmm. I suspect you were there also. Mm-hmm. And we heard from the lady who lost her husband and the reason why this piece of land has become available, and it tears at your heart. And, you know, it was right then and there I made a donation to the hospice mm-hmm. because I believe in it. You know, sitting as the deputy mayor in the community and as part of council, we're being asked to make a decision based upon the legislation, and I'm not seeing a pathway forward.
I want to break this down because I don't know. Does the municipality have any ability to go against legislation, though, Mike?
I don't believe we do, no.
Okay.
Because when you read the legislation, and I mentioned this earlier, it uses words that you shall. Or you must, non-discretionary terms. If it said, you may, I have discretion. But the terminology on agricultural land is you shall or it shall be maintained for the raising of livestock and the growing of crops.
Right.
Non-discretionary. I remember one parcel of land we tried to move from an agricultural zone because we said it was so small and unassociated to the larger piece of property, it couldn't be farmed. It was, you know, we had spoke to the farmers in the area, and they're like, nobody would ever farm that small triangular piece of land separated by, I think it was a creek. And therefore, we wanted, somebody had applied to make that a building lot, and we went in that direction. That was overturned at the county level, where I also sit, because the report that came to us from the county was very specific. You're not allowed. And that's why the county sits at that next level up. I will use the term gatekeeper for the province. So the county and those reports are to look at what the lower tier municipalities are doing in matters like this and completely apply the legislation as it is written and keep the municipalities from doing something that's outside the legislation. That's what the province expects of the county.
Before I let you go, you did mention a couple of times that you need to see a pathway. So for our listeners, define what is consisting in that pathway you need to see.
So there are exceptions in each piece of legislation. We'll start with the provincial planning statement. There are exceptions to the prime agricultural land use where you can do other things inside of there. If the application is formulated in such a manner that it meets one of those exceptions, then that would give us the pathway. Now we have a consideration to make because it says, thou shall not do A, but the exception is this. Okay. And if the exception fits, then we're allowed to do that. The same exceptions, although maybe worded a little bit differently, also exist in the county official plan and the municipal official plan, because our official plans have to comply with the provincial statement. And that was my point to Mr. Williams, is you're going to have to draw me or show me that pathway. We have to find the exception. Somehow, you have to find the exception. Mm-hmm. And that is why Mr. Williams, sometimes these things take a long time, because he's looking to see, you know, can we make this work on behalf of the applicant? That's one of the roles he says, but or he does. But at the end of the day, all the check marks have to be in the box in order for that to occur.
So the bottom line is, if the exception is not found, the hospice group pretty much has to find another location and then start the process over again, correct?
They either have to find another location. I believe, and I may be wrong on this, but I believe they could go for an order from the minister, provincial minister, for a rezoning.
Okay.
So there's always that Hail Mary pass,
right?
In this case, ministerial zoning orders. I believe those can be used in, and there's probably regulations around that also. That's not my area that I get involved with at all, but that might be something that could be their final option. Other than that, they'd have to find an institutionalized zoning to bring this forth in.
Last question for you, and I appreciate your time today. Next steps coming out of council this week.
Receiving the report for information just simply means we get to put it in the filing cabinet.
Correct.
That's all it means. What we did is asked Mr. Williams to continue working on the project, see if he can find those pathways, and bring us back another report, but with no recommendations. So generally speaking, the planner would have a recommendation on there saying it either fits, and here's your pathway forward, or it doesn't fit, and therefore their recommendation is don't do it. Councillor Derbyshire was saying he did not want to see that recommendation in the report because sometimes it causes problems for council to make a decision when that recommendation is sitting there. And basically, we just want to see more information before that next final report. I believe as the next report comes in, we're going to see that there is either an exception developing or there's no further movement forward, and we may make a decision based upon that, or wait for a third report to come in that has a complete policy analysis applied to it with a recommendation.
Hospice for the community of Strathroy, still the plans for the future. Details around the plan still up in the air. Deputy Mayor Mike McGuire, thanks for this.
Thank you.